And it says 37, verse 36. And the Midianites sold them into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. When we left Joseph in our last message, he had been betrayed by his own brothers and sold as a slave. Joseph had been sold to some Ishmaelite merchants for less than $100. His brothers sold him for the price of a crippled slave. The Ishmaelites took Joseph to Egypt and put him up for sale in that land. Try to put yourself in Joseph's shoes for a moment. You're 17 years old. You're the favored son in a family of 12 sons. Your father has chosen you to be the head of the family. He had given you a beautiful robe to symbolize this fact. You're on your path to power, influence, and prominence in your family. Then, in a moment of time, everything is gone. You're stripped of your coat. You're betrayed by people who should have loved you. You're separated from your father. You're sold as a slave and carried off into a strange land. Imagine the humility of being examined and sold in a slave auction. Imagine the lies that Satan must have told them. In many ways, you are just a simple country boy from an unsophisticated family, and you find yourself transported to the capital city of the most advanced nation on the earth. Imagine how Joseph must have felt as the camels came over the hills and the wonders of the ancient Egypt spread out before him on the plains of Gaza. The great pyramids would have been standing in Joseph's day. In fact, they would have been over 1,000 years old when his great-grandfather Abraham visited that land many years before. Joseph would have seen the great Egyptian temples and the palaces of the Pharaoh. It must have been a great culture shock to this young man from the country. On the surface, it seemed that circumstances could not have been worse for young Joseph. In truth, those difficult days were mere stepping stones along the path to greater glory. It may have appeared that all of Joseph's dreams have been shattered, but the God who gave the dreams in the first place was working behind the scenes to ensure that they would all be fulfilled in his time. When no one could see in all the trouble surrounding young Joseph's life is clearly stated in Genesis 39, verse 2, where it tells us, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." The Lord was with Joseph. I want us to learn the great truth that our God is always with his people to see them through their trials, to accomplish his plans in their lives, and to use them to point a lost world to himself. I want to join Joseph in the early days of his slavery. I want to show you the ways that we know that the Lord was with him. As we study these truths, please keep in mind that the Lord was with Joseph. And what the Lord did for Joseph, he will also do for you. Let me share with you the ways that God blessed this young man. As I stated a moment ago, it seemed that all had fallen apart for Joseph. Yet if you'll take a minute to examine the facts, it becomes clear that Joseph was in the hand of divine providence. Divine providence. I hope that you will come to understand the providence of God today and the comfort that brings to a soul that knows of the providence of God, the divine providence of God. Too many things just, quote unquote, happened to to Joseph. First of all, we see the intervention of Reuben by telling his brothers, let's not kill him, let's just put him in a pit. You have Judah's idea to sell Joseph as a slave. You have the appearance of the Ishmaelite traders. The fact that he was sold to Potiphar. Potiphar is called the captain of the guard. His position seems to have been that of a chief executioner. He was like the head of Pharaoh's secret police. He's responsible for protecting Pharaoh and for dealing with those who would dare attack the Pharaoh. Potiphar, by virtue of his position, would have been in contact with many of the dignitaries of Egypt. It is not outside of the realm of possibility that Joseph would have been introduced to many of the influential people who would later serve him. All of these things working together for good by God. God set everything up just like it needed to be so that Joseph arrived exactly where he needed to be at the exact moment he needed to be there. Joseph might have been a slave, but he was a slave of the Lord. He was safe in the arms of divine providence. He might have been separated from his earthly father, but his heavenly father went with him and before him into Egypt. You can see how much control the Lord has by looking at the actions of the people involved in this account. Joseph's brothers, the Ishmaelite traders, and Potiphar were all serving their own selfish interests. His brothers wanted to get rid of him. The Ishmaelites, they were out for profit, and Potiphar was just looking for a good deal on a slave. What they could not see is that they all unwillingly were accomplishing the purpose of a sovereign God and his acts of providence. Isn't it a comfort to know that God will use lost people to accomplish his purposes? Isn't it a blessing to know that all, brothers and sisters, all the events of our lives are part of God's plan for us? While the events of Joseph's life appear to be out of control, notice I said appear to be out of control, they were actually being controlled by the sovereign God, the God of divine providence. You see, Joseph was being protected by the Lord. Notice how God protected him. First of all, by his presence. He also protected him from a bitter spirit. The dreams that God gave to Joseph, they were right on track. They were being fulfilled in God's time and in God's way. I'm sure the dreams that Joseph had sustained him during these dark days. You and I, we have the same protection that Joseph enjoyed. He had God's presence. We've been promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Holy, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For I am with you even to the end of the age. We have his help to deal with our past, to deal with our problems and our pains. We have the promise of God in Ephesians 4, verses 29 through 32. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. God has given us the ability to deal with our past, to deal with our problems, to deal with the pain. We don't have to become bitter and angry or unforgiving. We can display a sweet spirit even though through the most trying of times with the Lord's help. We don't have to become bitter. God protected Joseph with his presence. He kept him from a bitter spirit. His acts of providence was carried out, and it is the same with us. God's providence. He promises that all things work together for our good. A lot of what happens in life does not make good sense, but it does not change the fact that God is in control of everything that happens to us. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 tells us, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not," notice, this is what Joseph couldn't do, and this is what we can't do, "while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." See? God's acts of divine providence, brothers and sisters. We don't know what the Master is doing behind the scenes, but we know what he has promised us. "For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, those are eternal." Those things that are not seen. Joseph couldn't see what God was doing, but he knew what God had promised him. And brothers and sisters, we have the whole scripture given to us. God has revealed his will to us. We cannot look at the circumstances that surround us. We cannot look at the events of life and say, "Oh, okay, I know what God's doing. I know what God's doing." No. God keeps himself hidden most times to us while his plans are being carried out. What we're called to do is to obey the Lord. Obedience to the Lord. And it may lead us into a eye of a terrible storm. This proved true in Joseph's life. It was true in Christ's life. As I have said before, God's purpose in our trials is not to harm us, but to develop us. We can trust him to protect us and to grow us amid the hardships of this life. God's plans are being carried out. God is sovereign, and through acts of providence, his will is being carried out in our life. In Genesis 39, verses 2 through 3. "When Joseph arrived in Egypt, he no longer had his coat of many colors. He may have lost his coat, but his character was very much intact. The coat that Jacob gave Joseph was a symbol of his position in the family. It marked him as the overseer. It marked him as the head of the family. It marked him as the one in charge of all things. It marked him as a man with authority. Joseph's authority did not come from a robe. It did not come from a robe. His authority did not come from some piece of cloth. Joseph's authority came from his character. From his character. He was a godly young man who walked before his father in absolute integrity. Joseph lost his coat. He lost nothing that made him a great man, though. Joseph's greatness did not come from the clothes on his body, but from the character of his heart. He may have worn the humble garments of a slave, but he was still a man of character and integrity. We should learn from Joseph to be people of character and integrity. We need to have the same testimony. We need to be people of character and integrity. Some people, they're different depending on when you meet them. You meet them at a church gathering and they're one person. You meet them in town and they're someone totally different. I would suggest to you that we need to be the same people regardless of where we go. We should strive to do the right thing at all times. We should determine in our hearts that we will have a good attitude and demonstrate Christ-likeness all the time. We have to be like Joseph. As I read earlier in Ephesians, don't become bitter. Don't become mean-spirited people, but be people of forgiveness, forgiving one another even as Christ has forgiven us. As I said, Joseph is a beautiful shadow of Christ in the Old Testament. When Joseph arrived in Egypt, he could have taken several paths. He could have adopted the ways and the customs of his new land. He could have abandoned his God and embraced the polytheistic religion of Egypt. But Joseph just stayed the course. You see, he may have been purchased by Potiphar, but Joseph belonged to God. He had already made up his mind how things would be in his life, and we need to do the same, brothers and sisters. It made no difference to Joseph whether he was in his father's house, in a pit, in the procession of slave traders, or in the house of his master. Joseph had purposed in his heart that he was going to do the right thing, and that is just what he did. Joseph was a man of integrity, regardless of the situation in which he found himself. We, like Joseph, need to establish boundaries in our lives. We need to make up our minds when there are some things we are just not going to do. We have to make up our minds beforehand, before we go out into the world. And then when a situation arises, we do not have to debate about it. We just know what we will do and what we will not do, because we have already made up our minds and the issue is settled. We're told in verse 2 that Joseph was a prosperous man. Verse 3 tells us that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. Some might have looked at Joseph's advancement in the home of Potiphar and said, quote-unquote, well, good luck. Joseph had good luck. They see a young man like Joseph, and yeah, well, he's had some bad breaks, and things turned around for him. Things started headed the other way. People look at that, and they say, whew, that boy is lucky. I want you to know, though, luck had nothing to do with Joseph's success. In fact, there's no such thing as luck. Luck is for the unbelievers of this world. They attribute it to mythical creatures and fairies and other spirits. But there's no such thing as luck for the children of God. There's the sovereign God carrying out his acts of providence. Joseph prospered because God blessed him. Joseph prospered before God because God saw in Joseph a man that he could trust to do his will. What some would have called luck in a person's life may be nothing more than the manifestation of a good, godly character. The purposes of God being carried out in that one's life. Maybe God blesses some people more than he does others because they have the right kind of character. Maybe they enjoy his blessings because they have integrity. Maybe they're blessed because the Lord can trust them to do the right thing. What I want you to see here is this. Joseph was in a bad situation, but he still lived a life that was blessed by the Lord. I'm sure that his life was a life of endless drudgery and service, but he was faithful to his task. It's so important to be people of integrity and that we are faithful in the task that God has given us. Joseph's character caused him to be faithful to God and to even to his human master, Potiphar. As a result, God blessed his life and his work. Here's two thoughts. Just because you are going through trials and problems does not mean that God is not blessing you. That's what we have to understand, brothers. We have to stop looking at our circumstances and counting the days, counting the numbers, counting the events in our lives and say, well, God's not blessing us. You might not see God move in your life, but you can trust him and his timing. His timing is perfect. He may not come when you want him to, but he's always right on time. God will manifest his presence, his glory, and his power in his life. Joseph made the best of a terrible situation. He demonstrated a proper attitude in the midst of his trials, and so should we. The secret to happiness in the hard times is how you respond to what is happening to you. A large part of living a joyful life is simply responding well to your trials. Life in the Lord is basically what you'll make it. There was a great Baptist preacher that many of you know, John Bunyan. He was thrown in prison in the 17th century for preaching the gospel without a license. He spent 12 years in jail because he would not promise the court that he wouldn't preach if he were released. He could have become discouraged by so long an imprisonment. But John Bunyan was a man of character and integrity. While he was in jail, he had a stool that had three legs. He removed one of the legs and carved it into a flute. He would use that flute to play gospel songs. While in jail, Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress, which is an allegory of the Christian life. It is the second largest selling book in history. Only the Bible has sold more copies. John Bunyan could have given up. Instead, he used his trials as a place to glorify his God, and in turn, God blessed him. By the way, the Lord is still looking for men and women of faith, character, and integrity. He's still looking for people that he can use in these days to get glory and honor to his name. Many might have become embittered if they was in John Bunyan's position, but they need not to. We need not to become discouraged and embittered. We have to bow our knee to the sovereign Lord and understand that he is in control. Back to Genesis 39, verses 4 through 6. Potiphar saw that the hand of God was upon the life of Joseph. He knew there was something special about this Hebrew slave. As he watched Joseph work, and as he saw the results of his work, Potiphar saw that everything Joseph touched just seemed to turn to gold. Potiphar promoted Joseph and made him the overseer of his entire household. Joseph was in control of everything that happened in Potiphar's home and in his business. Potiphar learned that he could trust Joseph to do the right thing. He discovered that Joseph was a man of integrity. He was a worker who did the best job that he could for his master. Joseph served Potiphar like he was serving the Lord. There is a word here for all of us. We all answer someone. Whoever that person or group of people is, we should give them the best at all times. We need to give those around us our best. That means serving your employer like you were serving the Lord. Is that not the teaching of Ephesians 6? And then let's look at Colossians 3, verses 22-41. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Notice, as to the Lord and not unto men. Joseph was doing what he was doing as unto the Lord. Not unto men. He wasn't trying to gain Potiphar's favor. He knew that whatever he did, it was to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons with God. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Joseph knew who his master was. He was working for the glory of God. And brothers and sisters, everything we put our hands to, we must remember, as unto the Lord, as unto the Lord, working with integrity for the glory of God. Like cream, Joseph continues to rise to the top. Regardless of the situation in which he finds himself, he walks with integrity, seeking to glorify his God, and it showed in his life. Even Potiphar, the pagan Egyptian, saw something different in the life of Joseph. Joseph didn't have to blow his trumpet and tell Potiphar what a great believer he was. The life he lived proclaimed the glory of his God. And Potiphar saw for himself the influence of God in the life of Joseph. The touch of God on his life opened the door for Joseph to share his faith with Potiphar. The same thing ought to be true of each of us. The lives we live should be so different from the world around us that the mark of God's favor will be clear to see. Joseph, I said, he was a man of integrity. He lived a godly life. He glorified God, and God promoted him and used him in a powerful way. And the Lord will do the same for you and I, you and me, in our lives. If God can trust us with the task that he has assigned us, he will entrust us with greater things down the road. That's what Luke 16, verse 10 is all about. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. That's why it's so important to be men and women of character, of integrity, of honesty. When we bloom where we're planted and when we serve the Lord with industry and integrity, God will open up new avenues of service for us. He will use us when we get in a place of usability. Those that are faithful in little, be faithful in much. Those who are unjust in the least, to be unjust also in much. Maybe the reason that God is not giving you more is that you're not faithful in what you have already. We have to be faithful. You see, Joseph was faithful. As I said, he was a man of integrity. He was faithful. He served the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. He was a man of character. As I said, Joseph is a beautiful picture of Christ. Christ was the ultimate. Never sinned, laid down his life. He did all that he did as unto the Lord. He obeyed the Lord because he loved the Lord. The Lord said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Joseph loved the Lord and he obeyed the Lord. God used the sorrows of Joseph's life to shape him into the man that God desired him to become. God is using all the pain, all the heartache, all the sorrows, all the tears, all the things that has taken place in your life to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. The trials that Joseph faced and the trials that you and I face, they're never easy, but they do teach us to depend on God. Did you ever notice that all the pain and the heartache and everything causes you to depend on God more and more? Or, unfortunately, they can cause us to become bitter and distant with God and even turn our backs on God. But God never promised us a bed of roses on our journey to glory. How do you think everything is going to be fine when the Lord said to pick up your cross? Brothers and sisters, we are cross bearers. We are cross bearers. It's a lot of pain. It's a lot of heartache in this life. But know that the Lord is using it all for his glory. And he has a plan for all of us. Every child of God, there's a plan for us. And God is using much sandpaper in our lives, a lot of trials, a lot of pain, a lot of heartache. But you must remember that Christ was known as the man of sorrows and we're being conformed into that image. Yes, he will use us for his glory. And my friend, if you've never come to Jesus Christ, the first part of being used for God's glory is coming to Jesus Christ and being born again. Christ said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You're hearing the word proclaimed today. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Whosoever comes to the Lord, he will in no wise cast them out. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The first act of obedience that you're being called to by God Almighty is to repent and believe, and you will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the penalty of your sins. And the penalty of sin is condemnation. Condemnation and death. Death. And he has called each and every person to come to Christ. For Christ was an atonement. And I shouldn't say was, is the atonement for sin, to make us right with God, to justify us, to be made right with God. May you come to the Lord today. May you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved.